And in 1925, Pope Pius XI was the one who declared this last Sunday of the church year to be Christ the King. And the reason he did that is because he was looking at the situation of the world. And at the situation of the world back then, he saw what was growing were forces and powers of individualism, the forces and the powers of atheism, the forces and the powers of evil in the midst of World War I. And so Pius XI kind of declared that Christ is king of the universe. He's accessible to all of us. But it wasn't about a king with a crown and a throne, but it was about Christ, whose throne is the cross, whose crown is thorns of suffering.
From Chicago, it's the Old St. Pat's Podcast, a show that highlights weekly reflections from Old St. Patrick's Church. If you were to do an online search of the word royalty, an image of a king wearing a crown of thorns nailed to a cross might not be the picture that comes up. But this drastically different persona of a king is exactly what Christ wanted us to see, because he wanted to show you that his kingdom is not one where power and dominance rule the land, but where love, mercy, compassion, sacrifice, and forgiveness are the ways of his kingdom. He wanted to show you that he gave his life for us. In this episode, Father Hurley reflects on the power of life that Christ wants to give away and challenges us to reimagine how we can live our life for others.
I was in this church on Tuesday evening and with the RCIA. So if you were here a couple weeks ago, you somewhat met them. There was over 30 of them in this sanctuary as we did the formal rite of acceptance. So these are young adult women and men who are discerning and making their way towards initiation into the church at Easter time. And they meet every Tuesday, and they give a lot of time between late September and when Easter arrives in April, mid-April. And so they gather every Tuesday for a couple of hours after a long day of work. So I was the guy that was on Tuesday to offer a reflection, and they came here to the church. We talked a little bit about kind of the Mass and the history of the Mass and all that kind of good stuff. And at the end, they asked questions. And there was one gentleman who sat in this front row, and it was kind of a question I guess I didn't really expect. And he said, what do you enjoy the most, and what's your biggest regret? And so I told him what I enjoyed the most, and I guess I never really kind of got to what I regret. And I guess as I stand here today, as I have thought about it, I would say that the thing that I most regret, or the thing that I feel bad about, is not being able to follow up with people. And what I mean by that is, you know, we do a lot of baptisms here, we do lots and lots of weddings here, and likewise, I preside at a lot of funerals. I would love to be able to follow up with all of them. I wish there were enough hours in the day and in the week that I could follow up on so many of those couples. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it. I mean, it's kind of our, it's this audience that we want to continue to appeal to, and not just have them come and have their babies baptized, then we don't see them again. I'd love to be able to follow up with them. I'd love to be to follow up with every couple whose wedding I've done, and to be best friends with everybody, and to be closely connected, and to make sure that everybody's engaged, and they're not just looking at Old St. Pat's in the rearview mirror of the trolley when they leave. But likewise, the biggest of all three are the funerals. I really wish I was better. I wish there were enough time in the day and week that I could follow up with families who have lost people. I really, really wish I could. I think about how many families call me in such a dire situation, and especially as people are dying, and I'm with them, I'll go to hospitals, I'll go to homes, I'll journey with them, we'll get ready for the funeral, we'll do the funeral. And then oftentimes, I move on. And I'd like to think that they move on, but I know they don't move on. I know, and you know, that so many, and I've been in that situation too, it's hard, really hard. And I think about how many have lost younger people in their family, or people who have suffered or tragic losses, and I wish I could be there and be with them every day. There's one individual in particular who I've been close to throughout the years who lost big this past year. And it's been really hard for him. Losing his wife, a woman he'd been with for over 44 years. And it was really hard. And he's a guy that has kind of a very tough exterior. And yet he's a guy who really didn't allow me to kind of just fade away. He's a guy who has texted me, "We need to get together. I need to get together. I want to get together." And so I guess I've made the time. And there have been a couple of lunches and a couple of dinners throughout the course of these past several months. And I can see the anguish and sorrow in his eyes and in his heart. How hard, how difficult it is to have lost the love of his life. And trying to, I wouldn't say pick up the pieces, but trying to move on. Trying to get out of bed every day and trying to move on with life, or trying to be happy, trying to find happiness again. And I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine walking in his shoes. And yet, over the course of these past several months, I guess maybe even the past few weeks, it's not that I've seen like lots of glimmer of new life, but I guess I see him perhaps a little bit more operational. And I see him kind of not allowing this thing to destroy him. And he hasn't said these words, but what I am sensing and what I'm picking up is that he's not going to allow cancer and this devastating loss to not allow him to live. Because I know of this deep and abiding relationship that he had, that it's the life of his bride that is the life that is going to force him to live for others. He won't allow darkness. He won't allow the loss of her to hold him back. I think about it in another way. I remember when I was a student at Mundelein, and we were, I don't know if we were in our first or second year, and we had various ministerial sites that we went out to, and a friend of mine who lived on my floor from the Diocese of Madison got involved with Bonaventure House. And this was back in the early 90s. And Bonaventure House, which was a respite, a place of solace and support for those suffering with AIDS. And when the AIDS epidemic, especially back in the early 90s, was certainly at a heightened level, and it was so traumatic and so very difficult for so many people and families. And I remember him coming back one night to the seminary after being there on one of the weeknights when he was ministering at Bonaventure House. And he came back and we were talking about it. And he was talking about kind of the wisdom that he had received from one of the residents of Bonaventure House. And this resident said with great faith and also with almost great inspiration to my friend, he said, "I have a choice. I can either die from this or I can live with it." And I remember those words of wisdom. I can either die from this or I can live with it. Another image that comes to my mind was I was back at my first assignment last week, and I was blessing a memorial bench for a friend who had died earlier this year. And after the blessing, as I was getting back into my car, it was nighttime, and right around the corner of the front of the church is another memorial. And it's a memorial for a little boy who died back on June 25th of 2001. He died at 8 years of age. I did the funeral. He got sick in March of that year with an ear infection. And he was dead by June of that same year when he was supposed to make his first communion. Michael's parents created a monument. It's beautiful. It's the statue of Jesus with the children around him. And I went over and just said a little prayer for Michael and for his family. And I looked down and I was reminded again of the plaque that they had put down there. And I'm gonna mix up the words a little bit, but basically it was the statue and the plaque that was down there at the foot of the statue was essentially in memory of a little boy who taught a parish how to pray. And what I remember so vividly about that experience is this young man, when this was happening, obviously everybody in that community just banded together. And they surrounded this family. And I can remember there were stories of people who said, I never knew how to pray the rosary, but I did it for Michael. I remember people talking about the fact that they never prayed before, but they did it. And they gathered with people. And I remember at that funeral, his parents got up there and spoke about kind of the power of their son's life. And even though this tragic and unexpected set of physical circumstances took his life, over the course of those 3 or 4 months, he really transformed a community. And so did he die from it, or did he allow others to live? I guess the reason I bring up kind of these examples is because tonight, this Christ the King is kind of an unusual feast day. And I say it's unusual because I guess I don't see Christ as royalty. I don't see Christ the King as being the one who sits with power as we like to think of kings. And I guess because we're limited, we're mortal, we think about kings who have kingdoms and power and soldiers and an empire and a nation that they control. And where this feast actually came from was back in 1925. I had to look this up. I was curious. I thought, where did it come from? And in 1925, Pope Pius XI was the one who declared this last Sunday of the church year to be Christ the King. And the reason he did that is because he was looking at the situation of the world. And at the situation of the world back then, he saw what was growing were forces and powers of individualism, the forces and the powers of atheism, the forces and the powers of evil in the midst of World War I. And so Pius XI kind of declared that Christ is King of the universe. He's accessible to all of us. But it wasn't about a king with a crown and a throne, but it was about Christ, whose throne is the cross, whose crown is thorns of suffering. And what is Christ about? But not power and dominance, but his energy and his power is about solace and forgiveness and mercy. It's not death that destroys him, but rather it is the power of life that he wants to give away. That's why we have this Good Friday reading. It's kind of fascinating that on a feast of Christ the King, we hear about Good Friday, the King on his throne of the cross. And what do we hear? But they jeer at him. And the soldiers jeer at him. And what do we hear a couple times in this text? But why don't you save yourself? If you got this power, and if you say you are who you are, then why don't you save yourself, and why don't you save us too? And Jesus is going to say, I don't operate that way. I never did, never will. I didn't come as God's Son to save myself. I didn't come for individualism. I didn't come for myself. I came for others. The power and the force of death is not going to take my life. I'm going to give it freely. And so I'm going to do and be faithful to the mission of why I came, to live for others. His power, his energy, his force is the force of good. It's the force of mercy. It's the force and the power of love and inclusion and acceptance. Don't you remember the stories that we've read this past year? The stories of how he goes to the margins, how he dines with those who are tax collectors and sinners and cheaters, of how he went near people with leprosy and those that everybody else wanted to stay away from. Don't you remember the stories in Luke's gospel about the prodigal son and finding the lost and seeking those who needed to be found? Don't we remember the stories of how he taught people how to pray and how he called people, and especially those who were simple people, fishermen, to be followers and companions on the journey? He didn't live for himself. He didn't want to save himself. He wanted to live for others. Death isn't going to take him. His energy is to live for others. And when I think about some of the people that I've encountered these past days and months of a guy who lost his wife, he's not going to allow cancer to win. He's not going to allow the loss of his wife to win. He's going to live her beautiful life, their beautiful life. He'll continue to live for others. When my pal comes back from Bonaventure House with the wisdom of a guy suffering and dying from AIDS, AIDS isn't going to kill me. It might take my body, but I will live, and I will live for it, and I will live with it, and I will live for others. I remember young parents who stood up at an ambo in front of a full church on the south side of Chicago who talked about the beauty of their son's life and how their son's life gave life to others and helped them on their faith journey. I think about a guy named Al Gustafson who was here at Old St. Pat's who lost his son at a very young age, again through a brain tumor. I remember Al standing up at his son's funeral, and I presided at it, and it was out in Naperville. And he said, "Michael kicked cancer's ASS. It kicked his ass. Because Michael had a power for life. Michael had a power that absolutely influenced the lives of so many others." So we might look at the forces of evil and cancer and all that bad stuff that we think is going to destroy us. But as we come here on the feast of Christ the King, we're mindful of the one who said, "You know what? You ain't going to take my life. I live for others. I live because that's why God sent me to the world. That's what we're here to do, is to live for others, is to live a life that God wants us to live. Not to moan in our regrets or our mistakes or what might be holding us back, but to reimagine how to live for others. And to reimagine how we're going to pour some life and love into the heart of another and allow that life to be poured into us." I think about it apropos this week. I saw something on Twitter and somebody was kind of replaying the old commercial from Life Cereal. And there are many people in this church who are such babies and too young to remember. But those of us who are old enough remember Mikey. And Mikey with Life Cereal. Whether you know this or not, it was the longest running commercial than any other commercial that's been on the airwaves. From 1972 to the mid-1980s. And these two little gremlin kids are sitting at a table and they say, "What's this junk?" "I don't know, it's supposed to be good for you. You're going to eat it? I ain't going to eat it. Let's give it to Mikey." So they shove it in front of this kid. He ain't going to eat it. They almost taunt him. He ain't going to eat it. And Mikey's kind of like, "You know what, you two dopes? You're not going to force me to eat it. And I might sit here and stare at it, but I'll decide on my own." And he surprises the heck out of him when he starts shoveling in his mouth. Hey, he likes it. Mikey likes it. And people have quoted that for 30, 40 years. We gather in this place because death and darkness is not going to have the upper hand. It's not going to force us. It didn't force Jesus on the throne of the cross, and it ain't going to force us. We gather to walk in the light of the King of mercy and the King of love. May he continue to inspire us and energize us so that we continue to build his kingdom, the kingdom of mercy, inclusion, and peace. May he do it, and may he do it again as he energizes us and feeds us once again at the table of the King.
Time now for announcements and events. Join the Old St. Pat's Outreach Group in making Christmas merrier for thousands of men, women, and children who benefit from the outreach program supported by Old St. Patrick's. To help out, please take an ornament from the Giving Tree and include this person on your Christmas shopping list this year. Gift and cash donations are both welcome. And then join in the fun at our gift wrapping party on Sunday, December 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. For all the details about this giving tradition, please visit our website. Are you interested in doing more to have a positive impact on the environment and social justice? Looking for a fun way to give back all while bettering our common home? Then join the OSP Creation Care Team. For more information, contact Kayla Jackson at 312-798-2399 or Kayla J at oldstpats.org. OSP Next, the young adult group at Old St. Pat's, has a lot of great events this December. We're holding Bible study every Sunday now until December 22nd, right before Mass at 3:45 p.m. On December 8th, we'll be hosting a Christmas movie night in Hughes Hall after the 5 p.m. Mass. Join us at 6 p.m. on Sunday the 8th for popcorn, pizza, and holiday cheer. And enjoy the beauty of the season with us at Zoo Lights on December 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. No RSVP needed for any of our events, so invite your friends and come on by. Thank you for listening to the show this week. The homily was originally given at the 5 p.m. Mass on Sunday, November 24th, 2019, by Father Tom Hurley. For all the info about the organizations mentioned in today's episode, a full list of our live events, and free parking information, visit our website at oldstpats.org. To stay up to date with new episodes, please follow us on Spotify. Find us on Twitter at Old St. Pat's Chicago and on Instagram at Old St. Pat's. I'm Kate Anderson. You've been listening to the Old St. Pat's Podcast.